Tonight's lesson from Scripture comes from the 26th chapter of Deuteronomy, verses 1 through 11. When you have come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance to possess, and you possess it and settle on it, you shall take some of the first of all the fruit of the ground, which you harvest from the land that the Lord your God is giving you. And you shall put it in a basket and go to the place that the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name. You shall go to the priest who is in office at the time and say to him, "Today I declare to the Lord your God that I have come into the land that the Lord swore to our ancestors to give us." When the priest takes the basket from your hand and sets it down before the altar of the Lord your God, you shall make this response before the Lord your God: "A wandering Aramean was my ancestor. He went down into Egypt and lived there as an alien, few in number. And there he became a great nation, mighty and populous. When the Egyptians treated us harshly and afflicted us by imposing hard labor on us, we cried to the Lord, the God of our ancestors. The Lord heard our voice and saw our affliction, our toil, and our oppression. The Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with a terrifying display of power and with signs and wonders. And he brought us into this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. So now I bring the first of the fruit of the ground that you, O Lord, have given me. You shall set it down before the Lord your God and bow down before the Lord your God. Then you, together with the Levites and the aliens who reside among you, shall celebrate with all the bounty that the Lord your God has given to you and to your house." Would you please join me in prayer? Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When we hear the words, "once in a lifetime," the context will define just how we respond. If we're watching TV, and the pitch man comes on and wants to sell us some gadget for $7.99 and tells us it's the deal of a lifetime, we might be a little bit skeptical. But if someone presents us with an airline ticket to fly across country to visit a relative who's passing away, that's an opportunity that could be described as being once in a lifetime. Context is king. And we live in an age of superlatives. So usually, the impulse to be cynical is more often present than not. Things are described as being the best, the fastest, the neatest, the coolest. Experiences often are described as being once in a lifetime opportunities. So when one comes along, we should take note. And such an event will occur this week. On Thursday, to be exact. And some of you may know of what I am speaking. For some of our friends in the community will be celebrating Thanksgiving. Have you heard about this? It's the mashup of Thanksgiving and Hanukkah. This year, for the first time since 1888, the first day of Hanukkah falls on Thanksgiving. The next time this will happen, assuming we're still around, that there hasn't been a second coming, where we've blown ourselves to smithereens, will be in the year 79,811. why so far off in the future? Well, Thanksgiving is rooted in the Gregorian calendar, which relies upon the solar cycle, and Hanukkah is rooted in a lunar calendar. And slowly but surely, those two calendars are diverging. So this is it. 2013 is your one time, the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to mark the first day of Thanksgiving and Hanukkah together. Now, some of you might be wondering, what does this have to do with us here in church? Well, a couple of thoughts. The first is it offers a little bit of perspective. Now, this is an ecumenical gathering, and we are all God's children. But I would not be a good congregationalist if I did not know that we were here first. This is our holiday. Pilgrims, remember? But what's 400 years in the grand scheme of things? Our Jewish friends can roll their eyes. They've been celebrating Hanukkah for thousands of years. And the story of the Jewish people and the history of the earth is just a blink of an eye. And the history of the earth within the context of God's creation, just the same. So maybe pride should be tempered with a little humility. Now, that doesn't mean that our celebrations aren't important and they don't have meaning. Indeed, they are important. And when we have the opportunity, we should avail ourselves of them. And so, we think of this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to celebrate this purely American holiday. But giving thanks does not require a special day on the calendar. It doesn't require the fourth Thursday in November each year. And it's not reliant on Sunday of each week. Indeed, giving thanks to God is something that we should be doing every day. You and I have been created by God to give thanks, along with all of creation. And we can do that through song and dance and prayer and thought and deed. Indeed, our entire lives should be acts of gratitude. Our entire lives can be offerings of grace. If ever you wonder how important gratitude and thankfulness is to the life of faith, think of these words from Deuteronomy. What was the first thing the children of Israel were called to do when they came into the new land? Offer thanksgiving. You and I, heirs to this promise, are called to give thanks. Earlier in the service, we heard a portion of the Thanksgiving proclamation from 2010. The first presidential Thanksgiving proclamation associated with this holiday was offered by Abraham Lincoln in 1863. In the midst of a great civil war, amidst a time of suffering and scarcity and existential challenge, Lincoln called on Americans to give thanks to God for the blessings that they enjoyed. Now, in the 150 years since, the holiday has been stripped by the wider culture of its religious overtones. And Thursday will be a time for millions of Americans to gather together to give thanks to somebody and to enjoy a big meal and watch some football and see some family and friends, maybe do some shopping. But we Christians, we people of faith, don't need to buy into secular society's vision for the day. For us, it can be a religious moment, even as we enjoy food and fellowship with friends and family. It can be an opportunity for us to give thanks to God, to celebrate the blessings in our lives, to remember that all we have, our very lives, our gifts from our Creator, our blessings from one who loves us. We can think back to the text of a God who has claimed the lowly, the nobody, the outsider, and has said, "You are mine." And can we remember that God holds on to each and every one of us through thick or thin, and will walk with us and will hold us. This is good news. And it's news that deserves more than a once-in-a-lifetime thanksgiving, but deserves thanks and praise each and every minute of each and every day.